On this episode of Aviator Cast, the future and ForeFlight.
Welcome, aviators, to another episode of Aviator Cast. Load up your flight bag with useful flight training topics, interviews, and aviation passion. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Coming to you from Angle of Attack Headquarters in Homer, Alaska, here's your host and flight instructor, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, welcome, aviators. This is Chris Palmer here from Angle of Attack, broadcasting to you from Homer, Alaska. I hope that you are having a fantastic day today, enjoying whatever you're doing while you're listening to this podcast. I know that for many of you, that could mean mowing the lawn, walking the dog. Maybe you're listening while you're at work. Just a nice passive medium to get some nice aviation content. So regardless, hope you're doing well and good on you for pursuing more knowledge in aviation. Welcome. So in today's podcast, we're going to be talking about something that is a big part of my aviation life, and that is ForeFlight. Now, I don't want that to sound bigger than it really is, but at the same time, ForeFlight is a tool that I am constantly using to manage my aviation life, my aviation workflow. Is such an integral part of that. So I wanted to speak to that a little bit today. Now, ForeFlight, for those of you that aren't familiar, is an application on the Apple platform, so on the iPad and on the iPhone, that is basically a tool that you cannot live without in aviation. It aggregates so much information, basically has everything in one place, and essentially ends up replacing a lot of things that you would usually use. So we're going to go through and talk about that. And if while we're going through this, you want to go to foreflight.com. You'll be able to see some of the imagery there and understand what I'm talking about. And that will be instructive for what we're working on. So we are going to go through a general overview of what an EFB is. I'll tell you what an EFB is because ForeFlight is an EFB. Where we've been in aviation and where we're going, how ForeFlight is a part of that. I'll kind of define the modern aviator and what I think that means. I like to use the term aviator because I kind of look to yesteryear and I envision Charles Lindbergh as like an aviator. So I like to refer to the past while also referring to the present. That's why I call it the modern aviator. We're kind of bridging the two. Then we're going to talk about ForeFlight specifically as a platform and some of the features that I love in ForeFlight, and just to name a few things like the ease of information that you need for, you know, gaining information, what are frequencies, what are runway lengths, et cetera, flight planning, safety, things like traffic, glide advisor, weather, the logbook features, the weight and balance features, the, you know, how I use it for instrument, some big picture things. There's just a lot to cover here. I actually have ForeFlight on my iPad here open so that I can refer to it as we're talking and give you some more information there. And then we are going to finish the podcast by talking about when you should get it, how you should use it, etc. I'm going to keep this podcast to about a half hour. You'll see that time there, and I think that's going to be plenty. We may even end a little bit sooner than that. We'll just have to see. So, what is an EFB? Or maybe let's start at what is an FB or a flight bag? So there are a lot of tools as pilots we need to bring along with us. And so there's been this traditional thing of when you become a pilot and you start to go through training, you start to collect these tools and things that you need during your flights. So we're talking things like a headset and a logbook and a flashlight and paper charts and gum is another one of them, a hood. Charts can get pretty crazy, so that's going to be one of the main pieces of information here. But over the years, so much of that flight bag just became huge. You know, eventually we're all like practically rolling out a suitcase to the airplane with this huge flight bag. So it just got to be more and more and more as we added more in aviation and all these tools. And of course, you know, we're not talking about a tool here that's going to like replace everything. Like obviously ForeFlight isn't going to replace something physical you need like a headset, but it does replace many, many things that you would usually have in your flight bag and aggregates it into one central location. So that was the flight bag. That, you know, when I became a student pilot, I remember my first flight bag. It was this really nice kind of light brown leather, almost an orangish leather that I had bought from Sporty's, and I filled it full of my stuff. It was chucked full of things that I felt like I needed for my flights. So I remember my first flight bag. I still have flight bags to this day. I use flight bags now from Flight Outfitters. They make really good stuff. They even put our logos on it. So, you know, I still have a flight bag, but we've always kind of had this flight bag thing. And so eventually when this came along and when ForeFlight came along and replaced so much of those previous tools and charts and things like that, we called it an electronic flight bag. So that is where the term EFB comes from. It is a term that the FAA and many other people refer to. There are other EFBs out there other than ForeFlight, but ForeFlight has been in the game longer than anyone else, and they've done just a fantastic job of it and keep doing so. So that is an EFB. So let's talk about the modern aviator. What do you, or what is your existence like as an aviator in today's world? So you are going to go out there and you're going to get lessons. You're going to go through your private pilot, and then you're going to go out there in the real world and fly. And then you're going to maybe get your instrument someday. So what is that like? Well, first off, you know, aviation's been around for over 100 years now. I mean, we're going on, if you measure from 1903, we're going on, what is that, 118 years? Is my math right off the top of my head? But, you know, over a century, and obviously it's been one of the fastest parts of history in all the world, right? I mean, we went from the Wright Flyer to amazing high-performance aircraft all over the skies in World War II. Then we went shortly from there to the space age of, you know, the Apollo missions and the space race. And then, you know, obviously quickly getting into the space shuttle program from there, if you want to keep talking space age, the Blackbird itself, which is known as such an amazing aircraft for many years, operated all the way till the 90s, was developed in the 1960s. The early 1960s is when they started development on the Blackbird. So look at how fast that accelerated. And so over the years, as it becomes more prevalent, as it becomes more accessible aviation to more and more people through general aviation specifically, but also as the travel industry has grown and everything else, like aviation is just a very, very normal part of life in many parts of the world now. So it's incredibly common for people to travel and travel affordably, and for people to own airplanes and do so affordably. So there's obviously that proliferation of aviation that's happened. So that's my point there. But then as the skies have filled up, there's a proliferation of information and navigation and rules and regulations and frequencies and airports that are spread all over the place. So there's just all this information that over time was added, kept adding information. Until eventually, as pilots, you know, you're in the latter part of the century, and there is just so much information that you have to know to go through. We're talking textbooks worth of information that you need to simply get, a private pilot certificate. And it's pretty shocking how much there is that you need to know, and that just kept getting added on. So if you imagine, in a way, you've got like Santa's bag, right? And it's that magical bag that you just keep adding stuff to. But let's pretend that like it's his flight bag. Well, we're just going to be stuffing a ton of stuff in that flight bag. And it's just grown and grown and grown. And so literally, I kind of joked about it before, but there did come a time where you would literally have a suitcase for your charts, just your charts. And it's too much. So obviously all of that kind of came to a head. We had all of this information that was added to pilots. And then there was the digital age. So computers came along, that form factor kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, we had the introduction of the iPhone, I think it was like 2008, somewhere in there. And then the introduction of the iPad, I believe was 2010. So we then hit this new form factor where kind of all of that stuff, we could really start thinking about putting it in this little form factor that we could use and take with us all the time. So that is where the EFB comes into play. You can have all of this information at your fingertips, that entire gigantic Santa-sized bag that we talked about, crammed down into one easy-to-use, easy-to-navigate tool that is always updated and always ready for you to use, you know, if you keep up with it, which is pretty easy to do so. So that's where we're at now. And now, you know, you're flying along and you need some new information. You need something for, you need a frequency for an airport, or I talked about runway lengths. You need the name of an airway. You need a distance to here. You need a checklist. You need some weather information. You need to bring up an approach plate, all of that stuff right at your fingertips within a few key presses, and you're there. And it's nice because it's kind of like just in time. There's like just in time logistics, right? It's just in time information for what you need. And although there still is a very important aspect of flight planning and doing a quality pre-flight, it's just not as overwhelming as it used to be when you had to write out an entire chart, an entire nav log full of stuff. Now you have a much better workflow. So a few key presses, you have amazing visualization, you have management of all of these tools. And so that is what the modern aviator has become. We are managers of information, not only the information that goes into our brain, which is very important to regulate that, but the information that we need on the fly. So not only can we get just enough information to plan our flight, you know, instead of overwhelming us with everything, reading 40 pages of NOTAMs, but we can get it on the fly and stuff that we need while we're moving around. So that's all very helpful. So that is the modern aviator. We become data managers in a way. And to be able to do that with ease is very important. Otherwise, my perspective is that we start taking away from the safety aspect of flight, because there's only so much mental energy that we can expend on a flight. And I would rather expend my mental energy on safety or risk mitigation, which is a safety aspect, right? We're constantly thinking about things that we can do safer all the time. And I think that's very important. So risk mitigation and using my brain power on that rather than digging up charts and spending 3 hours in the pre-flight creating a nav log, it just doesn't make sense to me. So that is the modern aviator. Whether you like it or not, we're in a very data-driven world where we have just-in-time information at our fingertips, and ForeFlight is incredibly helpful at offering that to us. So that brings us to a short history of ForeFlight, just to let you guys know. And I don't know a ton of the history, but I've been around ForeFlight a little bit and have met Tyson, who is one of the co-founders of ForeFlight. I've also met Jason, but Tyson's kind of the public forward-facing co-founder of ForeFlight. And so I've heard several of his stories about how it all started. I actually sat down the one this year at AirVenture. So a short history of ForeFlight. They were one of the first apps on the App Store when the iPad came out. To my understanding, actually, I think they were actually one of the first apps and the first aviation app on the iPhone. So they were really, really early to the game, and there were just obviously a couple of features at the time but it was very helpful, even those couple features, and quickly became popular. I think even at one point, and this isn't the case anymore because I think it's incredibly affordable and almost criminal not to get it based on just price alone, but it was the most expensive app in the App Store in the very beginning. Now it's on a subscription basis per year at a very nominal fee. But, you know, they were very, very early to the game. As the years have gone by, and that was very early, so we're talking 2008 to 2010, where they were just getting started, we have seen just tons of innovation on the platform. I mean, it's impossible to talk about that in a podcast, but in one podcast, let alone 10, but there have just been update after update after update of new little features or tweaks to features that, in my mind, overall, the goal is to increase pilot safety, and that is what I really like about it. So there's been lots of innovation along the way and tons of little tools. So now, 4Flight is really at this mature stage, and they've been here for a good handful of years now. I would say that they've been at this stage where you can essentially completely replace previous methods for the last 5+ years without looking too much into it. I would be confident in saying that. But we still have had so much development from then. And even in the last year, all these great new features that just, it's like, oh man, why didn't I think of that? That would have been amazing before. I didn't know I was missing that sort of feature. So we'll talk about what some of those are as we go along here. But it's fully featured. It's mature. It's an incredible platform now. And it has such deep features that the majority of people won't necessarily use those features. But it's not intimidating in that sense. It's very easy to get in and use the platform in its main functionality, which is safety, you know, awareness, flight planning, and that sort of thing. So the core functionality of it works super well. Whereas if you want to be a pro level user, there's just a lot of really amazing tools that you can use along the way, and it's all so intuitive to use. So that's a short history of 4Flight. They recently got acquired by Boeing. A lot of people were worried about that, but it's been a soft transition, and really nothing's changed. Everyone that was there before is still around, and it's business as usual, and the platform is still growing and doing amazing things. So that's a short history. So now I want to get into some of the features I love about 4Flight. And, you know, I have a list of things here that kind of stood out to me. I've also got 4Flight open here. I'm literally, I'm in Anchorage right now, staying at a friend's house, and I'm literally watching a map of Anchorage International Airport, and I'm watching all of the departures with the traffic view take off from the runways here and climb. I can look at the airline number. I can look at their speed and their altitude. It's just amazing. The aircraft type, and all on this one map with a chart on it. And it's just absolutely incredible. So I have a list of things here, but I also have 4Flight right here in front of me where I can just kind of talk about these things. I don't want to make that exhaustive because obviously seeing is believing. So it would be a little bit easier if in a sense this was a YouTube video. So I think for the most part, I want to talk about high level, what are some of the features, not necessarily how to use them, because you can't see my fingers moving around. You can't see me going through the navigation. And then I also want to talk about the big picture, you know, like why would you want to use 4Flight? What's the idea behind it? So let's get into it. Let's talk about the features I love. It was the day before yesterday. I flew up here IFR. For those of you that are unfamiliar, that means instrument flight rules. It means I flew my aircraft in the clouds under highly scrutinized navigation and equipment and procedures, and did so quite easily compared to what it used to be. It still is a very serious business. There's a lot that goes into it, but having something like 4Flight to help me along the way just makes it so, so, so much easier. So I'm using 4Flight all the time. It's a very helpful tool. So I have some very recent experience just a couple days ago doing that. Now, I am not going to leave until tomorrow morning from where I'm at. And so even ForeFlight as a tool, I woke up this morning and I checked what the weather was going to be tomorrow morning with ForeFlight to make sure that my plan would work out where it was likely to work out. So I'm even using ForeFlight just on kind of a forecast or preemptive basis to see where things are going and how they're going to work. And that's incredibly helpful as well. So let's talk about some of the tools that I love. Obviously, flight planning is one of the most important tools in the entire platform, where you get a graphical depiction of the different charts that you want to use. And then you can literally type in several different ways. You can type in your route. You can paste your route. You can graphically press on the map and add waypoints for your route. You can even click and drag your route to different geographical locations. Say that you're not just flying from airport to airport, but in my case, you want to fly around the beach and around civilization, over civilization a little bit more on your way. You can actually drag your route and plan that out fairly easily with just kind of the flick of a finger and draw your route. And then you get into things like setting your altitude based on the best winds for the time. And then you can check how that altitude is going to play with the terrain in your way. So did you pick an altitude that was high enough to clear terrain? You can go into something called the profile view and check that out. You can change your departure times. You can look at your taxi route. It automatically calculates that entire route based on your departure time, your altitude, and the predicted winds to give you how much fuel you're going to burn, the average wind you're going to have, whether that's a tailwind or a headwind, how much time en route, your estimated time of arrival. So tool after tool after tool, incredibly useful for flight planning. You can then send that flight plan to be filed with the FAA or other agencies. It literally uploads it to them and you can go and activate it with them. So what I did when I flew IFR up here is I planned my route on the iPad in the airplane. I was sitting in the airplane when I did it. I planned it all out. It's a fairly simple route, and put in my notes and everything. And I had planned my flight within 15 minutes. It was incredibly easy to do and safe. You know, I had so many different pieces of information that I had to look at and plan that I had it all right there. My minimum altitudes were good for my IFR. I checked that I wasn't going to have icing at the altitude that I was going to fly at. I made sure I was going to be good on terrain. Of course, I checked all of my fuel. I checked my route. I even put a note in there for ATC that I was planning on canceling my IFR as I got closer. So just tool after tool after tool that helps with just the flight planning component. And of course, that is the most core functionality of ForeFlight is the foreknowledge, the before knowledge of your flight. So obviously the flight planning of what you're doing is incredibly important. And so the tools that are available to you for just the flight planning aspect is incredibly useful. And if you've ever done a paper flight plan before, it's this process where you get a printed chart from the FAA, you make sure that you have the correct size ruler, you make sure you have a pencil, you make sure you have a nav log that's printed out, which is basically waypoint by waypoint. And then you actually have to draw on the map. You have to measure how long that distance is. You have to put in that distance into the nav log. Then you have to look at the forecast winds yourself and do a wind correction angle for your for that heading. And it's just all of these calculations, many of them that you're doing on your own, that just it takes a long time. So it's kind of like going from a film camera with all of those terms, you know, nautical miles, wind correction angle, calibrated heading, you know, all of these things that are used as we're going throughout flight planning. But those are determined in the background in ForeFlight on the fly. Like you literally type in your route, departure time, altitude, aircraft performance, et cetera, and boom, You got it. So just an incredibly useful tool. So that's flight planning. Safety, just to speak to a couple features here, some big ones. You know, again, with all the technology that's come along, we have we've been through a journey in aviation, and we haven't really, until recently, been able to see a lot of the airplanes that are out there. We relied primarily on our eyes, and I think it's still very important to rely primarily on our eyes to see outside. But there's this new tool, this new level of safety within the last several years with ADS-B to see other traffic. And it's amazing once that system got turned on by the government recently, and everyone kind of turned on their equipment, and, you know, was even mandated to update your equipment for most people, to suddenly see how many airplanes were in the sky and you never knew it, that they were all around you, that they were flying around you and you didn't know. It's both a scary thought and a comforting thought, because obviously I'd rather know and be able to avoid than just not know at all. And it's a scary thought to know that for years, kind of ignorance was bliss, and we didn't know what was around us. So that traffic tool is incredibly helpful while you're flying around and looking for other people. Again, it's not the be all end all. Your eyes are still the most important part, because not everyone is on the system, and it's important, especially here where we are, because a lot of bush pilots aren't on the system, bush aircraft. We have those older aircraft that people aren't upgrading because they don't have to, but it still added a lot of people to the system to be able to see. And so I have welcomed it. I like it. I really enjoy seeing traffic now, and it's just been so, so helpful. And not only do you see the traffic on the map, but the system calculates and advises you of potential conflicts. So if you get too close, like to a caution, and they're getting pretty close, it's going to turn yellow. If you get to a dangerous situation where you're, and I'm not sure exactly what the parameters are, but you're within a mile and within several hundred feet at the same altitude, it's going to turn red, and it's going to get your attention. So that's also really helpful. So not only do you get the little blips on the map, what we call the fish on the fish finder, you get the actual information on where they are, what altitude, where they're moving, and the system calculates how you're going to conflict or not. So that's traffic. By the way, I'm just sharing a couple of the features. I'm just like, so much of this is high level. I mean, I could talk a whole hour on just the traffic stuff. So it's just so deeply featured. It's just crazy. One thing I think about a lot around here, moving to another feature, is water. So I live on the coast in South Central Alaska. We have a lot of water around us. We're doing flight training a lot of the time. And I think a lot about, hey, if there was a potential situation, I had an emergency, I had to set down on a beach or something, I need to be where I can actually set down on a beach. So, there's this thing called Glide Advisor. And what it does is it takes the performance of your aircraft, the calculated glide ratio of your aircraft, and it gives you an ever morphing glide advisor, a glide ring around your aircraft, and tells you where you can glide in that current scenario. And it's a pretty crazy system, because it can not only tell you that circular glide, but it also has 3D terrain data, basically knows where the terrain is, and it will contour your glide ring for that. So say you're up next to some mountains on one side, maybe it's to your right, and you have, you know, flat land to your left, you will see much of the right side of your glide advisor blocked out and even morphing with the terrain on where you can actually glide. And then you'll see the full circumference of that outside circle to your left. So it's pretty wild how that works. So Glide Advisor, I use that one a lot. Again, it's been out for, I think they announced Glide Advisor 4 years ago, so it's been around a while now. But that's very helpful. Perhaps something that could have been discussed in the very beginning, weather. Talk about a topic, weather. Not only can you bring in all of the government imagery into ForeFlight, you can look at the imagery tab and look at all the literal charts from the government that are out there, but you can overlay that much of that data in actual contextual 3D space on your map with the map view. So you can put radar on there so you can get the radar returns for precipitation. You can put that on top of your map. You can put icing on top of the map, turbulence, clouds, surface analysis, winds, the flight category, airmets and sigmets. I have traffic on almost all the time. There's so many different options that pull up the METARs along the way. So that's the actual like weather at the airport, and show you things like sky coverage or visibility or flight category, meaning if it's IFR, VFR, marginal VFR. So you've got just all of these options that can be viewed on the map with weather that offer a lot of awareness there, let alone you're on the fly, you're checking the weather ahead of time, not only from a pre-flight planning perspective, but you're seeing what's changing along the way and you can get that information on the fly, like where you are. So incredibly helpful there, just weather all over the place, which is obviously because we're in this new world of weather as pilots, is one of the biggest, most important things that we deal with. So there are a ton of weather tools. It's a little bit hard to emphasize just how many tools there are. And I'm looking at the map right now. I was originally looking in Alaska, but now I'm looking down into the lower 48. I can see that there is a string of major thunderstorms that is moving through Salt Lake City, and it's causing some convective sigmets in the area. I can see where that box is. It has a particular color. It looks like on the Oregon coast, there is an IFR airmet. Looks like there's also a turbulence airmet, 18,000 and above. So it's all at your fingertips. And of course you can see it on the big picture view, but man, when you're in a particular location and you need to move around something, it just gives you so many options to look at. So again, helpful across the board. Weather, again, that could be a subject that just takes up so many different podcasts. That's very helpful. To name some other features, let me just kind of look here at my list. You've got a logbook, a fully functional logbook, a digital logbook that is legal for everything you want to do, endorsements, sign-offs, check ride, whatever. It's all legal, a digital logbook that, by the way, calculates all of your time along the way. It'll even calculate your progress towards something like a private pilot or an instrument rating based on the flights that you've done. Say that you're a student pilot just starting out and you have to meet these requirements for the private pilot certificate, it will actually start to check the boxes as you fill in the information correctly in your logbook and tell you where you're at in terms of the required hours, which was a bit of an audit process earlier with an instructor. And I still do that audit anyway to be sure that we have all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted before a check ride, but it's amazing. You can even add pictures to your logbook entries. You can say who you're flying with. You can say any sort of custom field you want, but it's just such a granular, overall, easy backup even. It's all in the cloud. You're never going to lose your logbook flying at an airplane or something. I know a few people that's happened to. So the logbook, the weight and balance, you put in all of the information for your aircraft and it can calculate weight and balance on the fly. That's typically something I do on my phone. I'm with the people I'm going to fly with. I ask them their weights. I put it in the weight and balance and boom, right there. I make decisions based on that before we even go anywhere, before we even think about it. The aircraft, you can set up performance profiles for every single aircraft that you do. And so that when you go and you fly, the system, the calculations behind the scenes knows exactly how much, it knows how to calculate your performance basically on basically any airplane you can think of. And if it doesn't have your airplane, you can get the information from your POH or your operator's handbook, and you can dial that in to your own custom aircraft profile and then that will help. We're getting into crazy stuff now with ForeFlight of it being able to show you in 3D. You can preview, say, an airport that's in the mountains. You can preview any airport, but say that you're particularly cognizant or aware or cautious of approaching an airport in the mountains at night, and you want to get a lay for the land before you go there. You've never been there before. Well, you can view it all now in 3D before you ever go there. You can look at it on the approach path and see what it feels like and see what it looks like and what you can expect to see. Imagine a tool like that. Crazy. With the type of information that ForeFlight gets, because it does need some sort of, at least in its best functionality, some sort of GPS signal. It can connect to many panel-mounted GPSs, which it does in my particular case. But before I had a GPS that would communicate with my iPad, I used ForeFlight's Sentry, which is a separate unit that you can carry with you and put in any airplane. You get carbon monoxide detection. You get GPS location and altitude. You get AHARS information, which means you actually get attitude, heading reference, and then that brings all of the 3D data of your flight path into the iPad. So literally, a ForeFlight will record your flight in 3D space so that you can review it after the fact. That's called a track log. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. It's amazing how many features there are in ForeFlight, and it's just such a great tool. Been working a lot in Instrument these last several months because I've got my aircraft at our flight school. I got 2-3 uniform upgraded the Instrument, so I've been doing that a lot more, but I also have some Instrument students kind of for the first time. Flown a lot of Instrument in my day, but I've never really had students, so that's been a really cool process to use ForeFlight and Instrument. That's where it really shines, because you're using the tools a lot more, and I can tell you the level of precision, the level of tools, the level of replacement of all the charts that we used to have in ForeFlight is absolutely incredible. There was a time, if you had a Jeppesen subscription, or regardless of what subscription you had, you would have binders of these little thin paper charts from Jeppesen. And depending on how big of an area you subscribe to, you'd have these binders. For me, I had about 4 or 5 of them at once at the peak of how many I had. And you would get charts every single month, or even like once every couple of weeks. You'd have about 10 or 15 charts, and you would have to manually go through and find the alphabetical location of the airport that was updated that needed to be replaced and have to do that. That process took a long time, and it was just a huge workload during those you know, several week updates when those would come out. Now, it's all digital. And guess what? You can place that chart on the map, and guess what? You can see your aircraft flying over the exact path that you're supposed to be flying. And it's all geo-referenced. You can see it all. You can take notes on that chart. It's just amazing. There's just so many little tools that are so helpful. So I think I'm going to digress now. That's enough information. ForeFlight is an incredible tool. I talk about it a whole lot in our ground school. I use it a whole lot in my training with my students. Of course, it's not the be-all, end-all. It doesn't make you a good pilot, but it helps you make better decisions as a pilot. And that's why I really love it and think it's just such a fantastic tool. So that is it. It's just an incredible tool. I don't know if I have anything else to say that I haven't said. It's just such a compact tool. It's universal. It aggregates all this information, really helps you stay on top of it. And it's very helpful. In terms of when you should get it, and I know that this is a question that a lot of people ask, I think that you should get it early. I think you should get it as a student pilot, definitely. Even using just rudimentary tools like being able to look at the weather and determine yourself if it seems like the weather is going to be good enough for your next flight lesson, and get used to looking at that sort of thing. You may not get into the heavy planning in the beginning, but you can start to work through some of those tools in ForeFlight. So I think that having it right away is awesome. I definitely think that by the time you get your private pilot certificate, you should be comfortable with ForeFlight to use it as your primary tool to use for your data management, for your flight planning. I don't think there's any safer way to do it. So absolutely, it should be part of your training. I think it also makes sense, and I do this in my training with my students, to do a paper flight plan at least once, because that shows you, basically, you know where everything came from, and you know how difficult it is, and you kind of know how powerful ForeFlight is, and where everything happens. So I think that knowledge of knowing where it came from is very important. So, but I want you to be ready, proficient, knowledgeable about using ForeFlight as an integral tool with your flying by the time you get your private pilot certificate. Instrument training, right out the gate, you absolutely, if you haven't for whatever reason picked up an iPad yet and you don't have ForeFlight yet, you absolutely need one for your instrument training. There's no other way to do it in today's day and age. It's a requirement. I can't think of it in any other way. There's just too many important tools, too many things, too many variables, too many charts to not make sense of this tool. It pays for itself in spades, and it really, really shines in instrument training. Commercial, speaking specifically about commercial training or becoming a commercial pilot, that's really when you start to get organized a lot more. That's where some of the other tools of ForeFlight shine, like being able to organize your documents. You might have documents for your company. You might have manuals that you have to have. You can bring all that in the ForeFlight and kind of manage that. So just more and more, you're getting deeper into the tools in commercial. So already you would have had it for instrument, should definitely have it for commercial. And along those lines, you know, a commercial license gives you the license to fly for hire. And believe me, in a fast-paced commercial world, you will absolutely be using ForeFlight or something like it. But a lot of people are using ForeFlight because it's just the best. So absolutely, in your everyday flying as a commercial pilot, from your first job all the way through the airlines, you're going to be using it. So absolutely, it's very, very helpful there. So that is it. Looks like we went a little bit over time today, but there's a lot of information to share. I could do an entire series on this stuff. I will be doing some more information in videos, not only in my ground school, but I do plan on doing some material for YouTube as well in the future. I just as a matter of transparency, I am sponsored by ForeFlight. That came much later than when I started using it. I started using it when I really got deeper into aviation, or at least when I did my advanced ratings a handful of years ago. This was 6 years ago now when I got everything done again. So very, very huge proponent of it because I use it all the time, and I was a customer, a very happy customer, a very proficient user of ForeFlight many years before they approached us here at Angle of Attack and wanted to sponsor us. So in transparency, we are sponsored. We're very honored to be sponsored by ForeFlight, and we feel like so many of our thoughts and our purposes are aligned. And so, you know, thanks to them for all they do to make Angle of Attack possible and to get you guys more content and to promote great aviation content out there. We show a lot of what they do because we use it every single day, and it's just a natural fit that way. So again, transparency there. So that's it for this podcast. If you enjoyed it, there are ways you can help, give back, whatever you want to call it. Reviewing the podcast is really helpful. So if you go to iTunes, you review it, or wherever you're listening to the podcast, that is always very helpful for us because it moves us up in the rankings, lets other people know that this is something worth listening to. You can also, if you want to, I guess, support us monetarily, and it doesn't keep money to keep things going here, but we have some great products. We have some quality ground school that is very much kind of a new world of thinking in aviation. I think we think outside the box. pretty well. We bring together the old aviator style sort of stuff, the good decision making, the safety, the knowledge, the ForeFlight, everything into one package, and we have a great ground school to offer you that's all video based on our website. And if you aren't in the market for ground school, then recommend it to your friends. You know, get the word out there. The Angle of Attack is a provider of ground school, and we deserve a good hard look on this stuff. I really appreciate that. And then we have checkride preparation with Checkride Ace. If you're taking a checkride soon and you want a little help to give you some encouragement to kind of organize things, then our Checkride Ace program could be for you too. Very affordable and worth your time. Above and beyond everything else, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being our road warriors out there and recommending the podcast, reviewing it, being fans. It's so great to see and meet so many of you. I get to see a lot of you while I'm out there in the real world, visiting other places, you know, speaking recently of AirVenture in Oshkosh. It was so great to meet so many of you there, but I see you everywhere, and I really appreciate all of the encouragement you guys give and how much you appreciate the content. So again, thank you so much for being part of this community. Hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Hope you're well, you're flying, you're working on the flying, and we will see you next time. Until then, throttle on.
We sincerely thank you for joining us on Aviator Cast. Please subscribe through your favorite podcast service and leave a review. Check out more flight training resources at angleofattack.com. There you can find this podcast, many free aviation training videos, as well as online ground school for private instrument, commercial, and CFI. Got a check ride coming up? Checkride Ace from Angle of Attack is your ultimate companion, guiding you through the process so you can conquer your big day. Thanks once again for joining us on Aviator Cast. Turn left, contact Ground Point Niner.